I'm Bill, recovering from depression, and I'm powerless over a lot of things, not just depression. I'm in multiple 12-step programs, and I think the root of my depression and my addictions is my discomfort with the present moment. I want to seek to escape, to get away from the here and now, to not feel my feelings. And people sometimes think of depression as just intense sadness. It's not that in my experience. For me, it's oftentimes just emptiness. I feel nothing. I feel no emotion. I have no motivation to do anything. And I just want the world to pass me by. And it's hard for people who don't have depression to understand that. And I mean, they're lucky they don't have depression. It is what it is. I don't know why God gave me depression, but I do know that He gave it to me for a reason. And I just need to respond to the depression in as mature and serene a way as possible. I talk oftentimes being powerless over a lot of things, not just depression. But in regards to depression, the thing I'm most powerless over is my first thought. My first thought oftentimes is dark, depressive, full of judgment, self-serving, fear-based. It's just negative. And before recovery, I used to beat myself up about that first thought, saying how I was a bad and evil person. But that exercise is not helpful. It's just me beating myself when I'm down already. So I've had to learn to accept and forgive myself for that first thought. It's okay. That's what my brain does. My brain is broken. That's where I go by default. And I can't be held responsible for that first thought. But, and it's a big but, I'm in recovery from depression. And because of that, I'm responsible for my second thought and my first action. Am I doing things like trying to embrace an attitude of gratitude? Am I doing the next sober thing? Am I doing something, anything, in service to others, whether it's in program or normal civilians? I just need to do the next right thing. And these things, the positive second thought and the positive first action, they're not going to instantly turn the ship around, the ship of my depression. It's going to turn very slowly. And I need to keep applying these things over time. And I no longer, a lot of times people say, I'm going to have to go to these meetings forever. No. I choose to do this today. I choose to have a daily reprieve from my depression today. I don't need to be loving and kind forever. I just need to be loving and kind today. It's all about today. It's the present moment. And the funny thing is with all of my desire to run away from the present moment, the only refuge for the present moment that I've found that works is the present moment, is to be fully engaged in the here and now. Because I'm not worried about what I did yesterday. I'm not anxious about what I need to do tomorrow. I'm right here, right now. And when I focus on the now, it's okay. Because that's where God is. God is right here, right now. And I'll quote one line from Christian scripture because it speaks to me. Be still and know that I am God. Not I was God, not I will be God, but I am God. All I need to do is turn around and open my arms, and He's right there. You know, I can't say definitively what God is, but I know I'm not God. And I do also know, being in recovery, that the more loving and connected a relationship I have with my higher power, the better my life is. Not perfect, but it's better. And one of the metaphors I have for my depression is, before recovery, my depression was a heavy blanket covered in barbs and burrs, almost impossible to get off me. And what recovery has enabled me to do is it's enabled me to take the barbs and the burrs off the blanket. I'm still covered by the blanket sometimes, but it's easier to shake off. You know, I firmly believe that I'm going to be visited by the symptoms of depression for the rest of my life. But I have hope that I can have a daily reprieve. I don't need to stay in the prison. I do have a certain element of choice. I have a choice over what my second thought is and what my first action is. I have no choice over that first thought. My brain is broken. And, you know, when things are good, when my depression is in remission and my mind is functioning clearly, I can trust my senses. I can trust my thoughts because it's clear weather. It's clear flying. I can look out the window of the plane I'm flying, and I can handle everything. I pull the stick back and the plane goes up, and I can see that the plane is going up because the horizon moves. But when I'm in the depths of active depression, it's a dark and cloudy night. I can't see the ground. I can't see the horizon. I don't know whether I'm up or down. I can't trust my senses. I can't trust my thoughts. That's where I have to trust recovery, the practices of recovery. And in flying, they call that IFR, instrument flight rules. Rely on the altimeter, the horizontal indicator, the horizon indicator. So I just need to do what the steps have taught me. And if I do that, things will get better. We read a little something at the beginning of the meeting called How It Works. And it describes what we do. It's not why it works. I have no freaking idea why it works. All I know is it works. So it's not a question of why. For me, that question of why is crazy making. Why? Why do I have depression? Why did I have the childhood I had? Why did my daughter die 30 years ago? It's crazy making. I needed to let go of the question why, and instead ask a different question. And that question is how. How do I live my life so that I'm reasonably happy and serene? Not perfectly happy, reasonably happy. And, you know, I just need to get out of my head and turn it over to the God of my understanding. You know, and it's not a one and done thing. I'm not going to have instant complete faith in God from this point on by doing it once. It's a repetitive task. It's the practice of spirituality. You know, if I asked you a question, can you take one shower and never take another one the rest of your life? No, you got to take a shower every day to get that stink off you. And for me, recovery is cleaning the spiritual toxins that bubble up within me by default. I have no control over it. I need to be cleansed. People talk about recovery as brainwashing. Well, my brain was dirty. It needs to be washed. And, you know, I just need to get out of my head. And in in the steps, it talks about praying for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Those type of prayers don't work for me personally, because I can pervert and distort it to my will, to my power. So I have to pray different prayers. I have to pray for humility. Humility is not the same as humiliation. Humility is seeing myself for what I am. And they talk about the seven deadly sins, and the first of those is pride. In my estimation, pride's not the problem. False pride is the problem. And false pride comes in two forms. We're all familiar with positive false pride, where we think we're better than everybody else. There's also a flip side, negative self-pride, where I think I'm worse than everybody else. And that's the trap I would fall into more often, thinking that I'm less than the people around me. I'm not. I'm a beloved child of God. I see myself in a funhouse mirror. I'm either think I'm bigger than I am, or I think I'm smaller than I am. I needed new glasses. I need to see myself in a new way. And I learned a simple prayer in the rooms of recovery. One line. Lord, may I see myself as you see me. That's it. Lord, may I see myself as you see me. Because when he looks at me, he sees one of his beloved children who deserves love, who deserves healing, who deserves to be reasonably happy. We all deserve that. And one of the things I had to learn to do is to share what's on my mind, to share what's in my heart. Because there's a slogan in recovery, I'm only as sick as my secrets. When I hold it within, I'm by myself. I am depressed. We recover. I needed to include the group. You know, before recovery, it was me, and life was miserable. At the beginning of my recovery, it was me and God. Things got better, but it wasn't perfect. It wasn't until I added the third leg to the stool, me, God, and others. I needed to open my mouth and to share where I am. And we all do that in this room. Sometimes some of us are sharing a heavy load. Other times, we're sharing a light load. Experience, strength, and hope. And one thing that's kind of unique about DA in comparison to other places I've seen in regards to depression support groups is here at DA, we focus on recovery from depression. You know, some of us will share at times aspects of the disease, the absolute misery of being depressed, but that's not our focus. Our focus is how do we get better? That's what I need to focus on. How do I heal? I dropped from my own personal lexicon, I suffer from depression. Because when I say that, guess what? I suffer from depression. I encourage people to say, I encourage myself to say, I have depression, which opens the possibility that maybe some point in the future, I won't have depression. Or if I'm feeling really inspired and somewhat positive, I can say I'm recovering from depression, not recovered, recovering, present tense. I'm on the journey of healing. We're all on the journey of healing. We're all trying to find our way back to God. We've just been looking for God in all the wrong places, like that country western song. And I've been talking for a little while now, and I probably should take this as an opportunity to stop and share the time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill. We appreciate your share today.